You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your host, George Papazov.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast, helping you develop the winning mindset of professional traders. I am your host, George Papazov. If you have not already done so, please hit that subscribe button so you never miss another episode. And if you're not a member in our free trading room, join us now at community.tradeproacademy.com and trade with our team every single day. Today, I want to talk about one of the most important yet overlooked concepts in trading, analyzing your performance properly. I once saw someone on Twitter say that all that matters is the final profit. I gasped in shock, in horror, in sheer disbelief, because the reality is how you got the profit is really more significant and important than the final profit number itself. There's a hidden story and there's meaning if you're willing to dig deeper into your results and reading some more advanced performance metrics. So in today's episode, I'm going to explain to you my six favorite quick analysis stats, and I'll even do a full trade review of my trading day on August 24th. And we could decide together how I did and what those numbers tell in terms of a story. Super excited for this episode. I think it's going to be gold. So let's dive right in. So let's talk about performance metrics. You know, it's a unique aspect of your personality, your trading style, and your strategy. I want to say and preface this before we get into the actual six favorite stats that I use, that there aren't any perfect stats for you. Like, there isn't something perfect I could give you and say, hey, just follow this and you'll know right away how you're doing. It takes a little bit of work. It takes a little bit of application, takes some self-awareness, and it takes time to discover what metrics are the most important for you and your strategy. But you do need to try them all and really find what works for you. And most importantly, different stats will give you a different angle of where you could improve. Certain things will tell you maybe you're holding your position too long and giving up profit when you have it. Other things will tell you you're taking too risky positions. Some people need to work on the risk side, others letting the profits run. And more than likely as a trader, you're really going to need to work on both at different terms, or not terms, but different times, different stages of your trading career. So depending on where you're at, other statistics than the ones I present may be helpful. But at the end of the day, all I'm trying to get you to do here is to dive deeper than just how much money you made. Okay, but because there's such an important story here, and it's an opportunity to pick up some feedback that's invaluable. As traders, we're self-employed. And really, when we're self-employed, one of the downsides to that is the accountability. We don't have a boss to do quarterly performance reviews with us. There's no pressure for us to perform a certain way, other than obviously the need for capital. And so it's often overlooked. And it's baffling to me how many people really roll up the sleeves and go deep on the numbers they're generating. So trade analysis is just as unique as you are. And it's important to look at the story these stats are telling and prioritize what will have the biggest impact for your results right now. Wanted to preface it with that. Now let's dive into the six favorite stats of mine based on my own style of trading and strategy. All right, stat number one, and this one's easy. We got to get this out of the way, the win rate. All right, this is by far the most fascinating to new traders, because they still believe they need to be right to make money. When you're first starting out, you're not starting out with the understanding that, hey, I don't need to have a bias. I don't need to think if it's going to go up or down. I just need to look at the real-time information, and everything I need is in the charts themselves. All right, what you're thinking here is that you got to predict. You have to be right on your prediction to make money, because that's how you've been conditioned through all of society and your upbringing. So let's take a little example here with a win rate. Let's imagine you win 90% of your trades, all right? You're probably a god on Twitter. You're a legend. Everybody loves you. And they're like, wow, this guy or gal is actually absolutely smashing it. You can't imagine losing money with a 90% win rate, right? But what if you're really using a massive stop? You want to put on a performance, you want to put on a show, and you want to show that you're winning a lot of your trades. So you're using a massive stop. You're taking a lot of risk on your trades. If the trade goes against you, you add to the position. Now you need a smaller move to claw out of the hole. And so at the end of it, your trade might be profitable, but if you're risking $9 to make just $1 with a 90% win rate, you're a break-even trader. you're not making money. All right. This is why, to me, this win rate percentage in isolation is completely useless. Right. When a trader says, hey, this is my win rate, right away it tells me off the bat they're probably new. They probably don't have as much experience with the cycles of going through repeated wins, you know, getting into little ruts and clawing out of them. Just looking at this number in isolation is bad. In fact, my target for this ratio is 60%. If I'm winning more than 60% of my trades, there's a good chance that I'm being too selective. I'm waiting and overqualifying trades, and I'm probably missing good opportunities. To me, a really high win rate is actually bad. If I'm winning over 70 to 80%, you know, on days where it's 80 plus, you know, it's a great trading day, but maybe I was too patient. Maybe my win rate is high, but my profits are lower because I just waited for too few trade opportunities. I gave up the ones that came with a little bit of risk, but as a result came in with a lot of reward as well. So I target 60 here. Anything under 60, I tell myself I got to do a little bit of work. Anything over 60 is decent. Over 70, over 80, that to me is actually an opportunity to improve my selection of trades, my filtering, and maybe identifying more opportunities. Because the days where I'm winning high trades, I'm not trading much. All right. Number two of my six favorite stats, this is the profit factor. This is where we get a little more advanced and professional. Okay. And the profit factor for your trades is really calculated on the ratio of closed trades total profit over closed trades total loss. So for example, if you made $200 of total profit throughout the session, but you lost 100, 200 divided by 100 gives you a 2.0 profit factor. So what this is really telling you isn't really just about your returns or your win rate. This is telling you what is your risk adjusted return. How much loss did you generate to earn the profit that you had? Because you might make $1 million in one day, but your profit factor, if it's under one, means that you're risking more than you're winning. And if you're in this business for a long time and you encounter a day where, you know, things go wrong for you with a profit factor under 1.0, you're going to get annihilated. You might have a good day, you might have a great win rate, but if your profit factor is low, this is one of the big signs for the future that tells you, hey, you're just getting lucky. And yeah, you're making money, but you're also losing a ton, right? So you'll have a lower profit factor as a result. My personal target is 2.0. I like to see myself on decent days. I mean, I've had days as high as 4, I've had 5, 6, right? But my target is 2.0. I need to win throughout the session or the time period that I'm running these stats for. It's also important to realize you could do this for a day, you do it for a week, you do it for a month, you could run these stats for a year. And the longer you go, the closer you're going to be to like the average that you're expecting, which for me is a 2.0 in profit factor. I need to be making at least as much, twice as much closed trades of total profit than closed trades of total loss on a daily session, on a weekly, on a monthly, and on my long-term averages. That's my personal target. If I'm above there, I'm doing good. If I'm below, some tweaking might be necessary to how I'm running my positions, because this either tells you that you're running your profitable trades well or that you're not running your profitable trades well, and you may even be running your losses longer than you need to, all right? Again, I don't move my stop. I don't engage in risky behavior. So if you're a type of person who moves your stop arbitrarily based on the money you're trying to make and not the strategy, none of these stats make sense. Right. In fact, if you're not following a strategy, all of these stats are going to be irrelevant and useless because you're not evaluating a set range of criteria. You're just evaluating arbitrary decision making. All right. So in order for these things to give you good conclusions, you got to be executing them with discipline as well. All right. Make your data valuable. Follow a trading plan. This is how you improve. At the beginning, even if your trading plan is losing money, but you're getting consistency in how you execute, these metrics will be able to help you identify what you have to turn around and what you have to get better at. But if you're not following a plan and losing, these metrics aren't helpful at all. It's one thing I definitely want to mention. All right, let's get into number three. This is average time in winning trades. And then number four is average time in losing trades. It's the opposite of the same type of metric. So here's how this looks. This tells you how many seconds, minutes, or hours are you holding your winning trades for, all right? Now, in isolation, this is also useless. If you just say, hey, I'm holding my trades for an hour and 20 minutes on average on the winning side, that means nothing, all right? But compared against the next thing that I look for, it's super revealing. And the next thing, and number four, is average time in losing trades. And that is how many seconds, minutes, hours are you holding your losing trades for? And again, that's on average for the time period you selected. So if you're holding your losers longer than your winners, all right, even on an up day, it's a bad thing. Because understand, you can have a good trading day in terms of profit. To that Twitter trader who said, hey, profit is all that matters, you could celebrate that profit. But if you did things that are risky, eventually with enough time, those behaviors are going to catch up to you and you're going to lose all of your profit in a very short period of time. This is why these advanced metrics and analytics give you an opportunity to work on something and find bad habits even while your profits are still there. Very, very, very important. A lot of the times before I have bad days, I could identify them and change what's required to avoid those bad days by looking at these statistics. All right. So if you're holding positions longer on the losing side than your winning trades, all right, this is a first sign you're starting to use hope as a strategy. You're waiting too long for things to come back. You're not cutting your trades quick enough. You're not scratching when the odds turn against you. You're getting patient and you're starting to utilize luck in your trading. All right. This is a really big sign. It's time to tighten up your trading and be more disciplined before it starts to go south. And it will go south. It's an eventuality. If it happens for one day, if you're holding losing trades longer than winning trades for one day, you know, it's a learning opportunity. Move on. Don't beat yourself up. You know, it happens. Some market conditions, when things slow down, you have to kind of wait a little bit longer for trades to pan out. But if it's happening in an entire week, if this week you're holding more losing trades than winning trades, look out. A disaster looms and it's coming your way if you continue to do this. And I can't tell you how few traders know their ratio. Right? They'll say, well, I didn't know about this. I'm just looking at my win rate. And now you're starting to see why the win rate is so useless in isolation. My target for being in winning trades versus losing ones is 2-1. I try to stay in winning trades twice as long as I do losing trades. If you think about it, if you're waiting, let's put the picture together so far, right? I don't want to win too many trades. 60% is good enough because when you think a trade is less risky, that's when it's the most risky. You want to get trades early on where there's still risk, and that comes with a lower win rate. So I'm looking for a 60% win rate. I need to make twice as much money as I lose on the profit factor. And I like to hold trades and stay in them twice as long on the winning side than losing side. Think about this. If you're in winners twice as long and your profit factor is at least 2.0 and you're winning only 60%, can you not see how that's a recipe for success in the future? That's all that's required, just those four. Because the last two I'm going to share with you on this list are just a spinoff of average time in winners and losers. So this is the big picture for me. This is what I like to look at. And, you know, this is how I get early cues that things are about to go south. The problem with performance metrics is this, and I'm going to talk about this in this section before we move on to 5 and 6. The problem with performance metrics is when you avoid a loss, when you use this data and you say to yourself, hey, I was able to identify a day that would have been disastrous, and I avoided it by looking at these performance metrics, that doesn't show up on your results, does it? Because if you avoid a loss, you don't realize it, then your numbers are better. But you're losing that information because that's vital information. And this is why I get traders to consider doing an avoided loss journal. You know, like write down, hey, what did you do to avoid losing trades? Because that's very important information as well. The losers we didn't take are not captured in these statistics, all right? And this is why, you know, if you tell somebody on Twitter, say, hey, you know what? My avoidance rate of losses is really high. I avoided 4 losing trades today. Nobody's going to care. Say, how much money did you make? But the money that you make tomorrow is dictated by how much you're able to avoid and loss today. And these metrics help you avoid losses and they're not really factored in. You can't really see how you did that because the trade never happened. It never got captured by statistics. The last two are pretty much the same as average time in winning and losing trades. Number five is my longest held winning trade in time. Again, it's the same as the above concept as average time in winners, but this is different because it's not average. It's the extreme. How long was the longest held winning trade for the day, for the week, for the whatever it is? This looks at your longest winner in time. And again, it's useless on its own, but now you can start to cross compare it with your average time in winning trades. You know, if your longest held winning trade was 3 hours, but your average time in winners was 10 minutes, that becomes a very important trade. What made you decide to hold it for that long? Now go back to that trade for whatever review period you're doing and try to pull some positives out of it. Did you hold this winner based on luck? Was this a bad trade? Or is there an opportunity to learn from that position and say, hey, if I hold longer, I could make more money. What needs to happen in order for me to hold longer? And now you can create a position runner rule to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to run it with a trailing stop. I'm going to move my take profit on the last one. And basically, you're looking to replicate or redo those exact same conditions that got you your longest held winning trade. All right. So this is giving you opportunity to learn from. If your longest held winning trade is just a little bit above your average time in winning trades, you know, that's good. You're being consistent at least. The next one I look at is the longest held losing trade with time as well. Again, this is your longest held loser. And if it exceeds your longest held winner, you know, this is a sign that, again, you're getting complacent, you're getting patient. And with your extreme trades, like if you look at a longest held loser winner, those are extreme trades. They're outside the distribution of what your average performance is. When you look at those longest held losing trades, if they're way longer than your longest held winners, that's a recipe for disaster. There's going to come a time where the market condition is precisely the opposite of what you're looking at. Say, let's say it's a long position and, you know, it goes down and it comes back in the summer market because there's not as much movement. It's not trend. It's mostly consolidative price action. You're going to get away with that longest held loser. But when volatility picks up and if it's a really big downtrend and you're holding that loser, that one trade could blow out weeks of performance. Be very, very cautious about longest held losing trades being longer than your longest held winning trades, and also being much longer than your average time in losing trades. That right there speaks volumes. I can't tell you how important that statistic is. I always watch these very closely on a daily basis. All these six I'm talking about, I review at the end of every trading session. When I'm done for the day, I'll look at these and make sure that the ratios and what I'm looking for are in the ballpark of what my targets are. Because if I'm going to develop bad habits that are going to lose money in the future, I'm going to pick them up right here on a daily basis. So if every day you're giving focus to these six things, you're going to pick things up before they become a big problem. And you're going to be able to avoid those losses that you're normally taking, those outsized one-day losers that kill weeks of profit. The way to avoid them is to be super focused on your daily performance and pick out small learning lessons every day that you're going to work on tomorrow. All right. My target for the longest held winning to losing trades is, again, 2-1, just like my average. And to me, that's a super important number. So those are my top six. Now, we are going to go in and do a review for August 24th. And I want to show you some more of these numbers, but these are the main ones. And then we're going to say, hey, what did the day, did I do good or not on August 24th? And with these top six, every single day that I review, I can find an area of opportunity to work on every single day. All right. There's very rarely a perfect trading day for me, which is great because, you know, I'm constantly working and adjusting. That's what you want because that means you're focused on the feedback. You know, we often look at, you know, towards other people to tell us how we're doing, but the results we've created are your best coach. The best coach are a deep dive into the statistics of your performance, all right? All of these stats together will tell you a story and a much more meaningful one than just the win rate, all right? So as you guys could see, hopefully I've enlightened you and opened your eyes to, wow, there's much more to this than I've been doing. Now, let's have some fun and let's review a full day of my trading with the six stats that I mentioned. And then we're going to go into a few more that I think are important that I want to introduce you to and let you decide how you use. All right, I'm going to post my statement from August 24th from Sierra Charts. I'm going to block out the account number, obviously, but I'm going to put it in the podcast show notes so you could follow along with this visually. If you're driving right now, I'd probably say don't do it on your cell phone. Wait till you get home. Just listen and I'll explain them so you don't need the visuals, but the visuals will really assist you. So let's jump into it. Let's do a full trade day review and see what story is being told here about my performance on August 24th of 2021. All right, first and foremost, my closed trades profit and loss was $1,937.50. My closed trades total profit was $4,750. And my closed trades total loss, meaning all the losers combined, was $2,812.50. So if you divide $4,750, which is my closed trades profit, divided by my closed trades loss, I get a profit factor of 1.69. That means for every $1 that I lost today, or on this day, I made $1.69 of return. It's a decent profit factor. Technically, anything above one is positive. If you have something below one, that means you're losing more than you're making. All right, but it's not quite 2.0. So looking at this, you look at this day, say, all right, this is pretty decent, but I generated a little bit more total loss than I could have. Now, what do we wonder about that? Is this getting into trades too early? Is this not scratching a trade that was going against me only to get a full stop when I could have minimized my losses? Is this getting in too early in trades? We'll never know by a profit factor, but we do know there's something to dive deeper into because it wasn't 2.0. And so we move down to the next set of statistics, and I'm going to just do the six first, and then I'll show you some other ones. So my win rate, by the way, on this is, where was it? Oh, I didn't put it in the notes here. I have to go to Sierra. It's okay. Okay, my percent profitable trades is 69, but it takes it by a contract. So what you need to look at is your flat to flat percent profitable. That means from when you got into the trade to the exit. Because if you're not looking at the flat to flat, you're looking at where you scaled in, scaled out of trades, if it's part of your strategy. And you just want to know when you started, when you were flat, to when you closed the trade. That's what flat to flat means. Back to the zero position. What was that win rate? And it's 54.55 for August 24th. So if you look at percent profitable, that means I did really good in adding to my position and scaling out. But flat to flat on my trade, I took some losses that I had that were open profits to get the 54.55%. Like I said, I'd like to see it around 60. A lower win rate to me doesn't necessarily mean I'm trading bad, as long as the other metrics are important. All right, I've had some really good five-figure days with a 30% win rate. And that's because I scratch a lot. It's part of my strategy. If I get in and the market conditions don't look favorable, I have no problem closing the trade before I get stopped out. That's my specialty, is being able to scratch out of positions. All right. So, you know, that's decent. What was the next thing? Number three was, so we've looked at win rate, which was 55%. Target 60, slightly below. Profit factor, target is 2.0. All right, 1.69 so far, slightly below. Let's look at our average time in winning and losing trades, because that's important. So if you look at the statistics that I've posted here in the show notes, my average time in trades in general was 2 minutes and 10 seconds. Now, if you look at August 24th, all right, as a day, you know, it was a sideways day. I look at the chart here on the S&P 500 futures, which is what I traded, by the way. And it was around 77 low to about the high print of the day, 88. So we had a 10-point range. So when you have a 10-point range, because these stats are also dependent on market conditions, it isn't like the market went up 30 points and I wasn't on the team. I was just getting into trades and out of them because the targets couldn't be too long or too big because the conditions weren't there. So right off the bat, you're going to have a lower average time in trades on a slow consolidating day. Well, if we had a nice range day where the market ran up and it was bullish, or a nice down day where it was bearish, you know, average time in trades would be longer because I have a running component to my strategy. All right, but here's where it gets good. Average time in winning trades was 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Slightly above my average time in trades as a whole. My average time in losing trades was 1 minute and 20 seconds. So it's not quite 2 to 1, but just missed it, because I'd be, you know, 126 times 2, that's 246, 252 would be what I have to hit in the winners, but I was at 230, pretty close. My longest held winning trade was 5 minutes and 19 seconds, and my longest held losing trade was 4 minutes and 14 seconds. All right, and so realistically, what that tells me is, you know, I held the trades a little bit more than I should have. But here's the thing. All right, I didn't get 2 to 1 like I said I wanted to be. But here's the thing. The market conditions are slow. So being in a losing trade for 4 minutes doesn't really mean that you're taking a lot of risk. Right? Because remember, what determines a losing trade? When you close it out. So this trade could have been, you know, 4 minutes and 11 seconds of it, it could have been profitable, and then it dumped, and within 1 second, I got taken out at a loss. So it doesn't really tell the full picture, but what it does tell you is that you gave yourself a chance. When it's a slow consolidating type of day, you can afford to be patient and wait a little bit. So in a consolidation style trading session, I don't really beat myself up as much on the average times. I have a little bit of a wiggle room, but it's pretty close to 2 to 1 on both fronts. So I look at this day and I say, look, here's the opportunity. The good thing that I did was I made money, all right? I made more than I lost. My profit factor is pretty close. I'm staying in average winning trades longer than average losing trades. And my largest winner was longer than my largest loser by about a minute. Not quite 2 to 1, but that's a good day. I'm doing well. There's really nothing here on those 6 numbers that worry me. I could move forward to the next day and not have to do deep review. Now, if profit factor was negative, if I was in losers longer than winners, I need to go deep and figure out what caused this. All right. So this is how I do my review every single day. Now, let me give you a few other performance metrics that you're going to want to use if you're newer, all right, or if you're having challenges. Because remember, we said it tells a story. And the story gets a little bit more intricate when you use other things like the following. So another thing I like to look at is equity peak and valley. This means on your account, what was the maximum of your profit on that day? And what was your maximum loss for that day? What was the lowest your daily P&L was, and what was the highest it was? Well, my equity peak was 1950, all right? And I closed at 1937. So first of all, I'm proud of myself for stopping when I was close to the top of the amount of money I had made. I didn't give back the profit I already had. This is what that tells you. The maximum you had was, what was that number I just said? That was the peak, 1950, and I took 1937 half out of it. So I lost one tick from the top of the performance that I had offered. So that's fantastic. I'm happy to close towards the peak of my performance for the day. The equity valley, the downside, was minus 1750, which means at one point I had a negative day. I was down almost $2,000. My valley was almost as low as my peak was high. All right. And, you know, this kind of starts to tell a bigger story. What it looks like is I started the day down. All right. This also tells me that I likely used too much size. For a slow day, I probably put on bigger positions than I wanted to. And, you know, where could you see that? Look at the contracts you've traded. I believe average or the total number of contracts I had was on this day, 260 filled quantity on 39 trades, right? So if you do 260 divided by 39, about 6.6 contracts. And so, you know, it's decent. I did cut my size down, recognizing it's a slow day, but I traded a lot of contracts there. So that commission alone is, you know, $4 times 130, it's $400 or $500. So of that 1950, I probably ended up with 1300. I'd have to look at the amp statement, but I do remember it was around that. So I did get the profit, but there's the opportunity that you need to work on now is you took a little bit more risk and you were down 1750 on a slow day. Good recovery, right? Which if you add those two, then tells you what is your maximum run up. Now, I love this statistic. Maximum run up means from the lows of your account to the highs, what was your maximum profit on that portion of time? My maximum run up here is $3,700. My maximum drawdown was $1,750, which tells you to finish where I was able to get long a trade and not only remove my losses, but get back to break even. And then I stopped right after. Break even and profitable. And then I stopped. Which is very, very important. Those two numbers are super important. My maximum drawdown is $1,750. For up days, your maximum run-up will be more than your maximum drawdown. And for me, I like to see almost 2-to-1 on the run-up as well. When I'm doing well, I'd like to see myself when I'm in a long position or I'm making money, whether you're long or short, your run-up goes up as your profit increases. What I'd like to see is my run-ups be almost twice as my drawdowns at the very least. Which means I'm staying on the trend, all right? I'm playing it from the right side. And when I am profiting, I'm giving my chance to make more to maximize my returns, all right? Another decent thing to look at is your average trade open profit and open loss. This one, I shoot for it to be 2-to-1 as well. So average trade open profit for that day was 211.86. Average trade open loss was 120. So for every, this is by contract, by the way. So if you trade six, it breaks it down to one single contract, which makes it pure. It makes it comparable. So my open profit was 211. It should be 240 to be around 2-to-1, but I'm happy with it. Means I'm making more per trade than I'm losing. All right. And then this is the other ones I look at. Average winning trade open profit, 259. Average winning trade open loss, $67. So I really stepped on that trade. I stayed in it and I optimized the profit. So when you look at these numbers, it's actually good. Profit factor might be low. Win rate isn't quite where I want it to be. We missed the target there. But I'm managing the trades properly. I'm taking the profit when I have the opportunity to do it. And you know that by two ways. I'm getting more profit per trade than I am on the loss side. And I finished the day close to the maximum run-up of my account. Or not the maximum run up, the equity peak. That means I kept the majority of what I made. So this turns out to be a pretty good day, despite the fact I missed some of the statistics. Now with Sierra charts, there's so much more that we could do a deep dive on, and this becomes almost a whole masterclass. And this is something I'll probably do for our members, because I think it's valuable insight. But you could go in and look at other statistics, like when you had an open trade profit, how much of it did you keep on a per trade basis? Let's say that you have $200 profit on average, but your average win is only $50. That means when you have a position that's making 200, you're only taking $50. That's your efficiency ratio, which means you need to do some work. Trail the stops, get paid quicker. All right, respect the resistances. Stop turning analysis into hopium. Those are the kind of things it tells you about it. So there's so much more we could deep dive into, but I think if you're going to start and you start using the six criteria I just mentioned in this podcast and you expand it to some more of the ones we just covered in my trade review, you're going to have so much more insight. The answers you're looking for, what am I doing wrong? How could I improve? So even if you've been trading 40 years successfully, you're always looking to improve. If you're not improving, you're close to losing. And so those answers become evident. Not based on what other people think, but based on what you're doing. You're using your results, not to gloat about on Twitter, but you're using them as a feedback mechanism to propel your future profitability and to adjust your strategy to take advantage of all market conditions. This is what I love about this. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Went a little bit longer than usual, but I had this great idea and I wanted to do it with you. And hopefully you've learned a ton. Let me know in the show notes and in the comments. What was your favorite metric? What are you finding when you're using them? And I'd love to help you out and give you some feedback as well. Just pop it in the comments at podcast.tradeproacademy.com. I love you guys. That's all for today's episode. There's only one. Thank you for listening. If you love it, please share it with a friend or someone who would find this message helpful on their trading mindset journey. Also, if you're listening to this podcast, please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It helps us get the message out, and a stronger community is better value for you. The next review that we read on our podcast could be yours. And don't forget to join our free trading room at community.tradeproacademy.com and join our free Discord server and trading chat. Until next time, everyone, good luck and good trading. Keep making those profits, analyze them, keep optimizing onwards and upwards. Manage that risk, trade like a trade pro. Take care and goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.